For several weeks now, our Gospels have all centered along one theme, and that is discipleship, what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. If you were at Mass here at Christ's King last week, we talked about the cost of discipleship, what it might cost us to follow Jesus. And this week, Jesus continues this theme of discipleship by giving his disciples specific directions to prepare the way for the gospel. And that is one of the first directions that's somewhat unique, is that he tells them to go ahead of him to prepare for his coming. They're not going out, at least at this time, they're not going out to preach the gospel and then that's it. They're actually going out to prepare for Jesus to come right after him. And you'll notice at the end, they're able to even do things like drive out demons. They're able to cure the sick just by preparing for Jesus, not even having to try to win people over to Jesus. You see, a disciple doesn't bring faith to people on their own. Jesus does. Even in the world today where Jesus has died and risen again, and he's not here present with us on this earth like he was 2,000 years ago, brothers and sisters, Jesus is still the one who comes to that person and brings about faith. All we do is prepare for that. Kind of like tilling the ground or planting the seed. Are there people that will not go to heaven because they did not hear the gospel? Because we did not speak up and prepare for it? We must, as I've been saying for several weeks now, we must preach the gospel at home, at work, and out in public. It cannot be something here we do in this church, or it is wasted. And it's not just human virtues that we preach too. I think a lot of people like to boil down the gospel. They say, Father, I preach the gospel all the time. I'm nice to people. I forgive. Well, that's good. It's a start. But what about the Eucharist and the dignity of marriage and the freedom we enjoy when we confess our sins? These are parts of the gospel too that must be preached. Jesus then says to his disciples, the harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers for the harvest. And he's implying in this message a sort of dependency on us. This is one of the neat things about God, and so many people miss this because they think that God is so all-powerful that he doesn't depend on us at all. And that's a child's view of God. God has made himself dependent on us. There are certain contingencies where God has subjected himself to his own creation. This is the Christian God. One commentary puts it this way, that God's response is somehow dependent on the concern of those sent on the mission. In other words, God is making his response to bringing the gospel to people dependent on how much we care about it. People wonder why our country and our world is headed south. It's not because of who's our president. It's because of Christians who keep their mouths shut. Is it because we have not prayed for people to bring in the harvest? That as Jesus commands us in the gospel today, to ask to send more laborers out, God is counting on you to ask him every day. Jesus then gives his disciples instructions about what to take or not to take, and he's essentially telling them, take the clothes on your back and that's all you need. Do you feel equipped to preach the gospel to others? I think this is one of the things that holds us back from being very bold about our Catholic faith and preaching it to others is we don't feel equipped. What do I say when somebody says, well, why do you eat the body of Christ? Why do you think you have to confess your sins to another person? When they challenge you in your faith, what do I say? But what does Jesus tell his followers? Do not worry about what you are to say. The Holy Spirit will give you the words. And I can tell you that's so true. If you're bold enough, if you have faith enough to talk about your faith to others, God will give you what you need. You don't even have to worry about it. Finally, Jesus tells them not to move from one house to another and to eat what is set before them. You see, in Jesus' time, there were itinerant preachers, preachers that would go around sharing a message or a gospel of sorts, and they would often get paid for what they did. And sometimes they would even kind of work the system. So if I knew that, you know, one family over here served especially good meals, say they were serving steak and this family over here was, you know, serving tofu, I'd be like, well, can I come to your house for dinner tonight? And try to work the system to get the biggest benefit for the preacher. I can tell you I don't do that. But I don't eat sauerkraut either, so don't serve me sauerkraut. But it's this idea, brothers and sisters, that you're not going to get anything profitable out of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. You might get something profitable about preaching a different message. In fact, there's a lot of preachers out there, even in the Christian church, some of these mega churches that you've seen on TV, that are very profitable. Why? Because they're not preaching the gospel. They're preaching another gospel. But this profit isn't just worldly profit. I think one of the things that can discourage us sometimes when we preach the gospel to others is that we don't see an immediate result. And I know this is especially true for me as a priest, where I feel like I repeat things over and over and over and over. And yet, when I talk to you, it's about that time that I'm getting tired of preaching it, where you're just starting to hear it. And guys, that's true when we preach the gospel. That you're not going to see an immediate result. You're not going to see an immediate conversion or change in the people you preach the gospel to. Remember, we're not there to cause the change. Jesus is. We're just preparing the way. When you preach the gospel in this way, the way Jesus commands us to do today, he says we have great power over Satan. And brothers and sisters, you should rejoice in that. But the converse of that is true, that if you feel like Satan's got some grasp in your life, maybe it's because we're not preaching the gospel, because we're keeping it to ourselves. You see, part of being a Christian is the role of prophecy. When you were baptized, you had a special oil put on the top of your little head, anointing you a priest, prophet, and king. And a prophet isn't somebody who announces what's going to happen in the future. A prophet is somebody who shares the word of God with others, whether it's convenient or not. Look in the Old Testament. Read about the prophets. You'll see this over and over. Some of the prophets were even killed for sharing the word of God. I can't imagine how beautiful it might be someday when you go to heaven and you run into people that you don't even know, and they say to you, "Thank you for inviting me to church. Thank you for telling me that God loves me. Thank you for asking me about my relationship with God." And you'll say, "Who are you?" And they'll say, "Oh, I'm Joe. I met you one day at work and you said hi and God bless you." And brothers and sisters, your coworkers, your family, your friends, they need to hear the gospel message because it's the message that rescues the damned. It's the message that gives new life. And if you will not share it with them, who will?